It's Sunday. It's Radio Netherlands. It's the Happy Station tribute to Piet Myers. Yes, it's Sunday, July the 24th, 1994, but if you had your wireless tuned to Radio Netherlands on Sunday the 20th of September, 1992, you would have heard this.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Are you sure you can do this?
Rosie, if I told you once, I've told you a dozen times. I'm okay.
But you look nervous.
Why should I be nervous? I've been broadcasting since the days of Marconi. I had an Ovaltine for breakfast, 500 milligrams of Valium, the coffee's laced with Librium. I'm so laid back, I can sleep through the show.
You're shouting.
Who's shouting? I'm shouting. Believe me, darling, no. Neurotic I may be, but I am completely in control. I am composed. I am calm.
You calm?
Absolutely.
I'm calm.
Well, Pete, were you calm?
No, I wasn't at all. I was a nervous wreck. Listen, before I say anything or answer your question, I got to say I'm overwhelmed. I'm totally overwhelmed. I must tell all the listeners on this last show.
Go right ahead.
This whole studio is decorated with buntings hanging all over the place. I've got a funny hat on my head, and I've got all my dear friends... in the studio, the whole English service practically, and other friends outside. This is a beautiful, beautiful way to end a show. I must say thank you. Was I calm? No, I wasn't really, because, you know, Tom Meyer was a pretty hard act to follow after 22 and a half years, in a way, you know, so everyone was established, and I'm so radically different from him in personality, so I had to imprint on something ridiculous right from the word go, and that's how I did it.
That's right, you certainly did. What you did was you gave your listeners just a little bit of shock therapy.
Well, this is it. The very first show of the new season. I'm Piet Myers, and from this point on, I have the pleasure of being your Sunday host. And I must admit, you know, taking over a show that's only had two hosts in 64 years is a daunting experience. I mean, for four decades, the Happy Station was dominated by Eddie Starts, a man I never knew, but who made this program his whole life. He rattled his teacup, and he was kind, and he was charming and considerate, and had this image of being everybody's favorite uncle. And then in 1970, along came my old buddy Tom Meyer, and he imprinted his personality on the show for two decades. He could speak, 1,000 languages. He could sing. He loved animals, is kind-hearted, considerate, wonderful with grandmothers, and was all sweetness and light. Now, he was the nearest thing to Mary Poppins Radio Netherlands ever had, or will ever get. So, what do you get? Since 1928, you got 40 odd years with Happy and Pappy and your favorite uncle, and 20 odd years of Mary Poppins, and suddenly you tune in today and you're confronted with a middle-aged neurotic with a big mouth, a gammy leg, and a sex life put on hold. Well, darlings, at long last, welcome to the real world, and spread the word. The Wicked Witch of the Lowlands has arrived.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey. I've changed my mind, this love is mine. Great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. I chew my nails and then I twitch all my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire.
Mm-hmm.
me, baby. Well, after love you like a lover should. You're fine. So kind. Tell this world that you might quit on my tongue. Real rap, that's a funny show, it's fun. Come on, baby. Rap's crazy.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Yes, well, a little bit of a killer for the Wicked Witch. But actually, Pete, you weren't really so bad after all, weren't you?
No, that's one of the biggest disappointments of my life, you know. You know, most of my life I tried to be bad and I ended up being good, which really disappointed me.
I'm very depressed, actually. Yeah. I think everybody else is really... I have to do this for a second.
Yeah, go and blow.
Sorry about that. Actually, no matter how good or bad you ever were, or saucy or savory or rude or smooth, you were never bad enough to scare off Happy Station resident Granny in Blackpool, England. Who am I talking about?
Oh, my one and only Audrey McNeil, you
Who
mean.
Else?
Who else?
I know you're going to have lots and lots of letters, but I must write. The announcement of your leaving made me go cold. I'm not being dramatic or facetious. I'm really anxious, as I know what lies ahead of you. The operation is done for you, but the hard work that follows is all yours. You know that I will be thinking of and praying for you, Audrey.
Else from the Temple! English Department Secretary, ladies and gentlemen! Yay!
Well read, Els. Wonderful. I should have brought you on earlier. Missed opportunity there.
Yeah, where was I? Oh, yes, Robert Bowles in Provincetown, Massachusetts, right?
I'm certainly going to miss you. Your show has become as much a part of my Sunday as the New York Times and its Sunday puzzle. You must feel gratified in having touched with your voice so many people around the globe, with your kindness and humour. As I said, I'm going to miss you. You're leaving me knowing only Dar and Moy... and Dick. I guess I'm going to have to buy a buck.
And also in Massachusetts...
Dear Pete, I heard about the operation, and I hope everything works out okay, and that you'll soon be up and around. You'll probably get lots of visits there by friends who'll ask you, how do you feel? You can always answer with my hands, of course. They'll all think that's screamingly funny, but you'll get sick of it saying after a while... Well, sincerely yours, Robert Fraser.
Don't quit your day job, Rob. I will come and visit you, though, Peters. I'm
you
sure.
Will?
Yes, of course. There's everybody
wonderful,
else in this
wonderful.
Room. We'll all come and visit you. Oh, so pathetic. But I suppose this is as good a time as any to ask you about exactly what it is they're going to do to you.
Oh, this is wonderful. I've been waiting for this moment, you know, to tell everybody. What they're going to do is take my knee out and replace it with this big silver ball and a plastic ball, you see, where the knee is at the moment. And I saw this doctor, and I never forget, I was sitting in the office with him, the surgeon, says, I'm going to do the operation. I said, look, that's nice. And then he said, I'll give you an idea of what it is. And he opened his drawer, and he took out the silver ball, and he took out this plastic ball, and he handed it to me. And when I took it, my hand literally fell down because it weighed about a ton. And I said, how do you expect me to swim in the future with these, you know, 20 kilos of silver in my leg? He said, you'll get used to it. It'll take you 3 months, you know, but in the end, you'll learn. So that really is what they're doing, just replacing the whole knee.
The whole, it's beginning to sound like a game of pool.
Yeah.
Look, Pete, look what I've got. Look what I dug up.
That thing.
That's right, the studded leather thing, and it still fits, just like the day you gave it to me. Remember back to a certain February in 1993?
Oh, I love it. That's just one of the hundreds of samba bands that make Brazil the number one carnival country in the world. The carnival there, without doubt, is the greatest show on earth, you know. Beautiful bodies bedecked in the most spectacular costumes, giant parades, until Lent comes along on Wednesday, every Brazilian is out there doing the samba.
Yeah, but Pete, why did I have to take off all my clothes to learn the samba?
You know, because in Brazil, everyone takes their clothes off during carnival. It's tradition. You know, you've got to shed your inhibitions and run around in a G-string for 4 days. It's the only way to avoid, you know, the pickpockets and muggers.
Yeah, but I haven't got a G-string.
Oh, don't worry. I think I have a spare one here. Hold on. I brought one in this little old packet here. there it is. Oh. You like that? You love it?
You want me to wear this?
Well, I wanted to wear it myself. I think this is gorgeous. Here, you put this on here. Come on.
Here,
put this on because, I mean, you know, I just can't have you like that, running around like that. I mean, that's, you know, you've got to have a thing.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. God, you are fat, you know. You really should lose some weight.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know it's true.
What?
You are Jewish.
Yes, I am. I am Jewish.
The whole world knows it now.
Yes,
huh?
You know, there's nothing like having no secrets and several hundreds of thousand people being informed about that. But then again, Pete, that always was part of your style. Outrageous, occasionally to the point of ruffling a few feathers. And especially one listener who took great exception to certain anatomical references I made in one program and your subsequent response.
Ah, I think this is the moment he was referring to, just after Tom's song.
Well, like the old saying goes, they don't make him like that anymore. Good old brother Tom, easy come, easy go, and grudge pass me my jacket, will you? I mean, I should not be exposing myself at my age, yeah, you know. Well, I mean, I'll catch pneumonia.
With a body like that, it's a wonder you'll catch anything, I'm telling you.
What's wrong with my body? Look at the tan I got. Look at this gorgeous tan I got on the ABC Islands.
I must agree. Now, the tan is really beautiful, Peter. Yes. It looks very nice on you. But just for the record, could you please just answer one little question?
Yes.
Are those your nipples or are those tea saucers?
Squeeze and find out, child.
Obviously, your nipples didn't go down in Toronto.
No, strange, isn't that strange? I mean, in Montreal and Quebec, I mean, they get hysterical over them. Well, I'm sorry, you know, that the word nipple gives offense, but frankly, you know, Mr. Just, you must be one of the few people in the world who has such a reaction. After all, you know, the nipple is a part of our anatomy that simply can't be ignored. After all, we're all born with two.
Unless you happen to be the man with the golden gun, and then you had three.
James Bond fans will get that, and let's face it, as soon as we all arrive in this world, I mean, where do we head for our first delicious meal?
The nipple.
The fountainhead of life itself. Now, realizing that the show crosses boundaries, I was totally aware that had I been referring to the female nipple, then I might have been offensive in some cultures. But I was not referring to the female of the species. I was referring to my nipples.
The all-male nipple.
They are?
Well, indubitably.
And the all-male nipple is the most exposed nipple in the world. I mean, in tropical cultures, millions of them, you know, run around without shorts exposing their nipples and no one is offended.
I think you mean shirts there, Pete.
Yes, shirts, because if they went around without their shorts, they would cause a riot.
Or get themselves on the centerfold of Playgirl.
You could even become world famous if you expose your nipples. Think of Tarzan.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sylvester Stallone.
Richard Gere.
No, no, he takes off his shorts, not his shirt.
Michelangelo's David in Florence.
Michelangelo's Adam, right up there on the Sistine ceiling, all exposing their nipples. So, my dear Mr. Juster, let us men not be shy about our nipples, even though, you know, they seem to serve no biological purpose on males. I think they're absolutely useless. Do you have any use for your nipples?
No, I need some place to put my earrings.
Absolutely.
My nipples are still sore from that show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Well, you see, that's the lesson, you see. You must never complain. Otherwise, you just get us, you know, a show full of nothing but nipples from me.
Yes, and normally at this point, I'd make a sort of, like, nice crossover to some other segment on the show, but Jonathan Marks just walked in!
Yay!
Yay! Come on our microphone here, Jonathan. I mean, you know...
Where are you, page four?
I'm on page four. How are your nipples?
Rough.
Rough.
I'm not surprised, really.
And Veronica Wilson has just walked in.
And we've got Ginger De Silva and Jimmy Ochitty and some other people.
Luke Lucas and Josh Howie. And
I've forgotten the name. Actually, I'm really glad Jonathan is here because we really need to get the, you know, wine bottle opener. And I was wondering if you could go get that for a second.
All right, Nashville.
That's very good, getting the boss to do the work. Good start, Jonathan.
Thank you, boss.
I can do this because...
If you've won over Jonathan with a bottle opener, I guess you've also won over a few other people since you took over the Happy Station.
Yeah.
After all, you didn't have one of the easiest transition periods. You got a lot of hate mail at first, didn't you?
I wouldn't describe it really as technically as hate mail. I got a lot of anguish mail, you know, from people who were used to 22 years of a certain style. And then, of course, I was absolutely, you know, quite the opposite. And it took a little period of adjustment, you know, for people to make the transition to me. Hate, yeah, one or two letters, but that's all part of the game in radio. You know, he's going to get some. He's going to get some. Jonathan here, he's going to get some. You've got the bottle opener.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that.
You know, after I go. But that's the normal process in this sort of
thing. Okay, well, one of the people...
That's him, not you.
Well, I'm just
opening
it.
That's my bottle of wine he gave me, not for you.
I'm just opening it. Howard, read the script.
Yeah, I was going to say, here, listen, Pete. Yes? We know for a fact one of the people who succumbed to the cult of Myers was Jack Hap Amaki in Philipstad, Sweden, who apologises with this lovely card here and philosophises with the following. This card here. Thank you. We've got your card, Jack. It says, you have ridden on the highways of success, but like most of you, you had to drive on the sand and gravel roads to be able to measure success. Did that rhyme? Tell the doctors to stick to the planned surgery and not to mess with your cranium. Listen, an uncountable number of your programmes are memorable and not to be forgotten. However, the programmes I didn't like caused me to be somewhat hostile. Will you ever forgive me?
Is he forgiven?
Oh, absolutely. Well, he did nothing wrong, actually, so I don't know why I should forgive him. You know, as I said, nice to have you back, Jack, and I appreciate that thought.
Magnanimous Pete, a multifaceted man. That's the soft side of Pete Myers we sometimes get to see. The poetic Pete, the pacifist Pete, the paternal Pete, the Poppins Pete.
What, the Poppins Pete?
Just listen.
Okay, listen.
Listen. Listen, I want you to tell me something, because I want to play you a nice record. And we'll play a nice record for you and for Sophie and for Mummy and Daddy. Do you have a favourite song?
Yes.
What is it called?
For a spoonful, the medicine goes.
Wait, I know this song. I know this song. Just a spoonful of sugar, let the medicine go down, the medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Dumpy dumpo doom.
And then a delightful way.
Delightful way. That's from Mary Poppins, isn't it? That's one of your favorite movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, special guest star, Duncan!
Hey, look, come here, Poppins. Sit on my lap. You're getting so heavy these days. Say hello to everybody. Say hello to everybody. Go on, they're all waiting to hear you again. You were such a star on the first show. What? What do you got to say? What, you got a painting for me?
No, a drawing.
A drawing? What is it about? Let me see, he's giving me a drawing.
Three
what?
Three drawings, because there was a...
Right, you made three drawings for me here. Well, wonderful drawings. One's a bird.
No, that's number two.
Well, what is it?
Number two.
Number two, yeah.
Thunderbird two.
Oh, Thunderbird two. Right, okay. And this is Thunderbird one.
Yes.
And this? That's true. It's all coming back, isn't it, for the new generation. What's this?
That's you on the Treasure Island.
I'm on Treasure Island. I'm Long John Silver,
am I? And that's the treasure.
That's the treasure.
Behind that coconut tree.
Oh, that's wonderful, Duncan. I'm going to keep this and treasure it like all your other paintings I have at home. You can't beat a kid, you know. They'll steal every show. This one does, doesn't it?
What do you think I brought him on?
Lovely, Anne. Gorgeous son you got here.
Thank you.
Okay, now let me just tell you something about Pete is a man of many hidden talents. For instance, you can play the piano, right?
Well, you know I'm a regular Liberace, but I'm not telling you what I do with my candelabras.
Well, you're always trying to dig up, you know, the hidden talents of the Radio Netherlands staff. And you once made a program composed entirely of music from the technicians.
That's absolutely true, because we not only have the best technicians in the world here at Radio Netherlands, we have the most talented technicians in the world on radio.
That's right.
And we got a whole bunch of them here. Really. They all make music.
One time you made music with Jos van Beest, it's all coming back to me, and I certainly want Chinese food.
There is one thing I can do, actually, at the keyboard, and I thought perhaps I might impress you a little with it. So, you don't mind, do you?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, I mean, this is just my little contribution. People say, well, you know, do something, I'll do this. Okay, ready. Don't laugh. There.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, eh?
I know the tune.
You know it. I guess about everybody knows this tune.
My neighbor also plays.
Yeah, you know. God, poor you. You have to live next to a guy who plays that all day on his piano. Could we do something on this, do you think?
I don't know. I can. We can give it a try.
I give it a
if
try.
If you start it, I'm going to try something, and then we'll see.
All right, let's have a go. Okay, I'm going to go.
Where the ship sinks.
Carry me away, boy. Here we go. This is my great moment, playing with Yoss. One, two, three. That was terrific. We got a future here going.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite. And you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell them a joke. But give it plenty of hope. Make them roar, make them scream. Take a fall, but a wall split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite. And you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh.
Donald O'Connor singing Make 'em Laugh from, I think, the greatest Hollywood musical ever, Singin' in the Rain. And Hollywood musicals featured heavily during your tenure here, Pete. Several specials were dedicated entirely to them. Like, what were they called again?
I don't know. I call the movies something or the other, you
movies,
know. Yeah, it was taking people to the movies, you know, in sound.
Yeah, but in any case,
the Hollywood musical, different episodes and chapters.
music and laughter. Two of the major components in the Happy Station formula, and two areas where Mr. Peter Myers excelled at during his almost 2 years and over 100 programs at the helm of the Happy Station ship. And this is, okay, I'm gonna have to ask you a very personal question for me, because
you know, we all know what's happening. I'm moving in here, you know, next week.
Right,
it's
right,
be me.
That's true. It's you next
and,
week.
And, you know, this is something I have to ask you just a little bit about because I'm ever so slightly concerned.
Get to
about
the point.
This. How did you do it?
No, the secret was when I took on the series, I put myself a challenge. I said, I'll make every show a different show. That was the idea of it, so that nothing would ever be the same. So each show was a surprise, to myself as well, and a sort of a challenge to see if I could make 100 different forms of entertainment shows, tackling all sorts of subjects from D-Day. I remember once I had to do a show right about the beginning when I started, when we had that great tragedy here in the Balmamere when the plane crashed, remember? Mm-hmm. And many people were killed, and they had canceled. They canceled the scheduled Happy Station at the last minute on a Saturday night and said, you have to do something. And I thought, now, how do you cover this subject, not as entertainment, but how do you pay tribute to this? And then I rustled up some programs and I dealt with death, in a sense, you know, as entertainment. So you
Which
challenged
yourself.
Which I think
it really hasn't really been touched upon in like, the Happy Station before.
No, actually. No.
Very new things happened.
Things happened, but things that were not discussed. For instance, we discussed things opened up, you know, I mean, doing camp things on the show. That was an area that was quite new. And dealing sometimes with subjects. Like when I went to Lebanon, I brought back serious subjects and intermingled them in the show so that people got a little taste of what life is like, you know.
Okay. Going back to the script now.
if you're following this,
I'm watching
page
this.
Seven.
Yes, page seven, Jonathan.
Page seven.
Yes.
Where was I?
Right here.
Oh yes, this is the bit. This is the part that I put the. Oh yeah. And now we return to the well-wishers.
Well.
Such as Howard.
Is this my bit here?
Yes.
Good friends Ken and Sally Sneed in the country music capital Nashville, Tennessee, the USA, and they write, we especially thought of you this morning, Pete. Sal made two special sack-like enclosures for a friend at church to fill with sand and drape over his legs for his post-operative knee surgery. Your pain medication regime did not show in your broadcasts, but I suspect you could handle any type of broadcast about 95% stewed and the audience wouldn't be aware of it. Perhaps knowing of your imminent departure has sharpened our insight or something, but it does seem the last few programs have been outstanding and that you were totally relaxed and enjoying them sincerely.
Now, Ken, Sal, I wouldn't want to question this sharpened insight or anything, but, you know, has it ever occurred to you that maybe this recent sincere relaxation might have something to do with his being 95% stewed at the
pass
moment?
Pass the wine, pass the wine, yeah. Pass the wine.
Oh, yeah, here we go. There you
Thank
go.
You, that's a good
Thank
boy.
You. Thanks, Jonathan. Mr. Tony Bunn in Birmingham, England, has these encouraging messages.
Dear Pete, like all your regular listeners, I hope that it all goes well and that you don't spend too long lazing around in bed with all those nurses obeying your every whim. And like all your listeners, I'll miss your unique brand of presentation. Sundays just won't seem the same without our Pete first thing in the morning. And now I have a special message from the Messahib.
I
reserve the right to get all names wrong. Mem Sahib, okay. We go back to your letter now here. Anyway, she's called Mandy, and she's his fiancée of 19 years. She wishes you a speedy recovery after your operation and knows exactly what you'll be going through, as a few years ago, she had a knee operation which involved the hospital first breaking both her knees, ouch, and then resetting them. She says,
nothing to worry about. It's a snitch, Pete.
But I won't tell you exactly what she said.
Okay, Pete, now I've got some special messages for you from some listeners. And the first one is from Happy Station poet laureate Vikram in Bangalore.
For when, in sadness and despair, I used to sigh, his voice would bring back the glint in my eye. This could only be one voice, the magnetic voice of Pete Myers. The voice which cheered up the depressed. The voice which refreshed the tired minds. The voice which spelled happiness to young and old alike. A voice that touched our lives with a special light. A voice waited for by eager minds. The voice which was synonymous with Sundays. Can we ever forget such a voice? No, Pete, never. You'll always be treasured in our hearts forever. Thanks a lot for whatever you've done.
Yeah.
Is that Vikram from Bangalore?
That's Vikram
right?
from
our
Bangalore.
Our poet laureate. Of
poet laureate.
Our resident poet of the Happy Station.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He's absolutely the best.
Thank you, Vikram.
Now from Ivor Hange.
Yes.
In Birmingham, England.
Hello, Pete. Well, that day had to come, and we are sadly having to lose you. I just want to say that it's been great. I've enjoyed most of the shows while you have been at the helm. I think all of us would agree you have not only entertained us, but we found in you a friend, a true friend, so it's not going to be easy to say goodbye. Your D-Day, the 50th anniversary presentation, is one I shall never forget. Certainly, I think, the greatest Happy Station ever. And that can go on record. I'm not ashamed to say I shed a tear or two as memories flooded back. As you know, I have an interest in your operation, not just your recovery. It's a personal interest. I do hope it goes well for you, and you can be certain I will be in touch to find out how you get on. It could be me next time. Thanks for being such an all-round guy. We're both going to miss you very much. Well, that's all I have to say, really, but God bless. Take care. You don't fall again. Top scenes. Win and Ivor.
Oh, thank you very much, Ivor. Say thank you to Ivor. Say thank you. Say, go on, Duncan. Say thank you. Say thank you. Go on.
Okay.
Say it. Come on. You're getting all shy on me, are you? He's sitting on my lap at the moment. Anyway, that was lovely, Ivor. Thank you. We got more?
Yes, one more from, well, Massachusetts ghoul. I mean, forensic...
I know who you mean.
Specialist, yes. This is from good old Gerald Feigen.
This is from the man you described as a young Woody Allen. Even though I was acquitted of statutory rape, and I'm pretty sure I'm over most of my neuroses, although I'm still fairly sure you didn't mean it the way I just described it. Anyway, I'll miss your cynical wit, your incisive wit, and your musical expertise. Jonathan has some big shoes to fill. Let's hope his taste in music changes a little and becomes more like yours instead of the grunginess that he has. Remember, if your new knee doesn't work out, I'm positive I can find one lying around my morgue here in Massachusetts that will fit you perfectly. So remember, we're here at the dark side of life, waiting to help you, my dear friend. Thanks, and this is from Gerald Feigen, your true friend.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Let's go, cat! Burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay off of my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Rock it! For the money, looking for the show, three to get ready. Now go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take home for my blue suede shoe.
I just got to correct Pete this day about music, because that's an impossible thing to do.
I know.
Pete just goes, Carl Perkins, Oh, no, it's not.
It's Presley,
it's Presley,
of course.
But the song is written by Carl Perkins. Blue Suede Shoes, rock and roll classic. Some of the people in the audience here, of course, really more colleagues than audience.
More
have
colleagues than
messages
friends.
To say, and friends, yeah, have something to say. First of all of them is somebody, the very shy and demure. Dear Sue Jan.
Don't listen to any of them. I am actually a sweet, charming little Indian girl. Look, I had a whole host of extremely brilliant wishing to keep that meat thing away from my face. I had this long line of extremely witty and brilliant things to say to our darling Pete Myers, because this place is really looking like some, you know, bomb shelter at the moment. There's streamers everywhere. Everyone's, you know, sort of a little bit half-copped with all this wine stuff. But Pete, witticisms just fail me, because actually I've come up to the microphone and I'm thinking, here's this last tribute to our darling Pete Myers, and I'm thinking, this is actually a really sad occasion, and
yeah. You're gonna cry?
I am. I'm feeling a little choked up, and I don't get choked up that easily. I get choked up about old movies. You make me feel choked up, and I think that this is your last show, I feel choked up. But I do want to say that I've been here for 5 years now, as the first of the young ones to arrive. I'm a little heading off into middle age now, and you were certainly my big mentor, my teacher. You've taught me basically everything I know, and I think there's a whole bunch of us now who can say exactly the same thing, who came here, who have been Pete Myers' protégés. I don't know if our audiences realize this, but most of the programs that are now going out by Radio Netherlands presenters who are under 40 are Pete Myers' protégés. We are what he has created.
I will say something. The best teacher
in the world.
Thank you, dear. I'm touched. One of the greatest satisfactions of when you talk about that for me, and he's not here. He came in a minute ago and he left. Is young Eric Boschema.
Award-winning Eric Boschema.
Pete Myers.
No, but that it really is the most gratifying thing to see, because I knew Eric when he was 17. You know, before he even entered radio, when he used to correspond with me from California. And to suddenly think that, you know, he's now in his he's 30, to think that, you know, in all these years, the boy who used to correspond with me from California, writing sort of fan mail, came to Holland, and now he's an award-winning member of our team. And I think that, for me, was one of the greatest satisfactions in life.
Congratulations, Pete.
No, congratulations,
yeah.
Eric.
Congratulations, Eric, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's Anne, the babe, Blair Gould.
But has Deira left me any time? I mean, how much time have
I got
left?
Go ahead.
Okay, oh. I don't know what to say. This is one of the few occasions
when... Okay, that's enough, thanks.
Oh, come on, give me a break here. Okay, now, Pete, all I can say is it is a very sad experience, a sad occasion, and I am quite lumpy-throated here, but I wish you all the best with your operation. We'll miss you on a Sunday, but we'll come round and see you, me and
Dunkey.
That'll
be lovely, you and Dunkey. That'll make my day. He's still sitting on my lap.
Very quiet, aren't you? And now, Africa Section Superiora. Veronica Wilson.
Grandma Wilson. You know, I took offense to the under 40 bit. So we're over 50 club here.
Yes.
I don't know who's been following whom all the way around the world, Pete, but I think we first met each other in 1962 at the other big station. And then I came here, and then you came here. That's right. So,
in fact, when I started the show, I remember, I just looked it up, you know, called London Fanfare.
Yeah.
And when I did, after a year, 18 months, I moved on. You, in fact, took over from me.
That's right.
You were the hostess.
So there's a lot to be said for... What shall I say?
Crazy old days.
Experience. All the best, and I'll be with you, huh?
Thank you.
And now here's a message from another old friend with a little bit of advice.
Just a few thoughts for Pete as you rush headlong, willy-nilly into old age. A few things I've observed lately, and I'd like to draw to your attention. As I get older, I've had plenty of time to contemplate. Lately, I've been contemplating the hereafter. Several times daily, having passed from one room to another, I pause and say, "What the hell am I here after?" However, growing old has its compensations, Pete. I now have silver in my hair, gold in my teeth, lead in my limbs, stones in my kidneys, and natural gas in my stomach. I'm rich! Just think, we senior citizens were here long before television, video, frozen foods, credit cards, ballpoint pens, plastics, polio shots, contact lenses, and the pill. When we mugged a person, we did so by settling their bill, usually for drinks. For us, time-sharing meant togetherness. We wound up our watches daily. We had no calculators other than the brain that God gave us. A chip was either a piece of wood for fire lighting, or a piece of fried potato. Hardware meant something from the Chandlers that was durable, and software wasn't even in the dictionary. Pawn was where we deposited our assets until the next weekend, under the sign of the three brass balls. Jeans were any property belonging to a girl of that name. We had no dishwashers, tumble dryers, drip dryers, pantyhose, and electrified blankets. Fast food was what we ate during Lent. We married first and then lived together. How quaint that is today, but how nice. Divorce was a pastime exclusive to film stars, and girls thought that cleavage was what the butcher did. Bunnies were little rabbits, and dishes were for eating off, not for receiving signals from outer space. We smoked cigarettes. Pot was for cooking in, and grass was for mowing. Rock music was a lullaby, and AIDS were for people hard of hearing. A gay person was the life and soul of the party. We used manual typewriters and carbons for copying. Fax was what we looked up in a dictionary or encyclopedia. We were before vitamin pills, disposable nappies, diapers, McDonald's and pizzas, instant coffee and Chinese takeaways were completely unknown. Made in Japan meant poor quality. How in God's name did we exist? Boy, we must have been a tough bunch. And you, Pete, were always one of the toughest.
And that, of course, was Neville Gray, ladies and gentlemen. Neville Gray.
Wonderful piece. I think it is.
Yay! Neville Gray! I think it's very, very important at this point that I point out that I was not the only ever guest host here of Happy Station.
You don't mean?
Yes, I do. That's right. The woman who's kept more plastic surgeons off the dole than Zsa Zsa Gabor, Clarissa. And here she is in action, putting the charms on listeners who wrote, or rather a listener, who wrote a classical fantasy letter, but of course to no avail.
Now tell me, William, darling, tell me a little more about yourself, because in your little letter you wrote to me, I was thrilled to hear that you have a program with a marvelous title on your campus show. It's a special program for lesbians called Dykes on Mikes.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful? We have Dykes on Dykes here, you know.
Yes,
sure we even do. we have Dykes on Bikes on Dykes as well. What do you do with your Dykes there in Montreal?
Well, they broadcast. At least some of them do.
Really? Oh, you know, Maxine would be thrilled. It's a pity she's not in the studio at the moment, you know, to hear this because she's gone to the powder room. But, you know, I mean, she's all into Dykes, but I'm not, you know, my generation of women. Well, we're rather coy about that subject.
Ah, yes, well, I understand, of course. At different times, different mores.
Of course, you know, in my generation, you know, well, I mean, this sort of thing would never be discussed on the air.
Well, we do discuss it here.
Oh, well, I wouldn't dream of it on this program. So therefore, I would like to now move to something else in your letter, darling William. You have a classical fantasy.
Yeah, anyway, the music sounds so much like it should have been written for a theme for those movies. I mean, I can close my eyes and listen to the Souriant and almost see Cary Grant being chased across the face of Mount Rushmore.
Really? Wonderful idea. You see Cary Grant scrambling all over the face of all those presidents on Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
Oh, and you say here that I should try it myself sometime.
Try listening to the music. I mean, I don't recommend that you scramble across the face of
Mount Rushmore. No, darling, no woman of my age would dream of scrambling over the face of an American president, you know, not well, unless she's wearing comfortable shoes.
Unless perhaps you have some sort of Eva Marie Saint fantasy.
Me? No, darling, I've had fantasies of a Cary Grant, you know, for years and years and years. So tell me a little bit more about yourself, William. I mean, you know, I'm just curious. I mean, how old are you?
I'm 41.
Oh, a mature man. How wonderful.
Well, sometimes, shall we say.
Really? I mean, you know, clean-shaven?
No, bearded.
You're bearded.
I've had it for 21 years now.
Do you find that women are more attracted to bearded men than, you know, those who are clean-shaven?
I really can't say. I don't really have any experience in that line.
Really? Why?
Because I'm attracted to bearded men.
Oh, God, we've got one of those on the program. What a waste of time.
Yes.
Yay!
Okay, oh, my God. I've started opening your present. Look, I got you a couple of presents.
Got you a couple of presents, Pete. Gosh almighty.
Got you a couple of presents. Here they go. I actually busted the wrapping on this. Sorry about that.
Must I open them now?
Well, yes.
All right. I'll open this one.
Quick,
tear it up.
They're props.
Oh, wow. The wonderful new book on Peter Sellers, The Life and Death of Peter Sellers. It's a new book about him that said he was very neurotic.
That's
like
right.
me.
And this
I will appreciate.
This is an electric bookmark.
An electric bookmark yes. as well. It's called Deluxe. A deluxe thing! How wonderful! Look,
this is an electric thing.
I am not going to mention this on the air. You did this deliberately.
They told me this was an electric bookmark.
Oh, this is wonderful for the leg. It's wonderful, you know. It's very good for the muscles.
Yay.
And a huge cake as well. Listen, I can't thank you enough.
They say that plastic doesn't stain, but I'm not sure about that one.
Jonathan, a big chocolate cake. Happy operation, Pete, it says on it. Listen, I just want one little word to say. Thank you to all of you. You've really made my day. And there's just one of two things I want to say. First of all, I want to thank all the people who assisted me, above all Rose. Rosie, who was really my right hand in all these 2 years I've worked together.
Thank you, Rosie! Rosie! She was directing everything.
And to you, and to Howard, you know, for having such fun, because it made life fun. And to all our technicians, because they were just fantastic. And technicians,
including?
Including today, of course, the man who really is one of the best over here, you know. What's his name? I've forgotten completely.
Bob Van Baten.
I know, I'm only kidding. Bob Van Baten, I've made some great programs with Bob and all the others. And to all the audience, I've got to say thank you, because it was a privilege to work for one of, I think, the best audiences you'll discover, Jonathan, in the whole of shortwave radio. And we had fun. That was the main thing,
Yay!
You know. We got happy. And that's what I think I enjoyed doing.
And I just like to say
yes?
thank you, Pete, for... And I don't know how to express this in the 10 yes? seconds that we have. Pete, thank you for everything, and I love you very much.
Give me a kiss. That's better.
See you next week. Yay!